Benji Molina has joined us on Sports Byline. We're making his book, Molina, the story of the father who raised an unlikely baseball dynasty, a selection of the month on the Sports Byline USA Book Corner. I alluded to your mother. She had a passion for baseball as well. And, you know, when you think back about when you were growing up and how many years ago that was, you would not normally think of a mother being as passionate as yours was. What's the background on that?
Oh, man. My mom is actually very passionate about baseball. I don't know what got her into being so passionate, but I tell you what, when we had our games, she was our anchor. She was the lady that told us how to hit. She told my dad how to manage. He did, man. She was all out, man. Up until today. Today, she was here at the house with me. And sure enough, she was saying all kinds of stuff about Yadi, how he was hitting. He's not supposed to hit like this. He's not supposed to be doing this. And I'm like, Mom, easy. He knows what he's doing. He goes, No, I don't like that. He's supposed to do this. He's supposed to do that. So that tells you, man, that she is involved. And I always said, if I'm a manager in Major League, I'll get her for my bench coach.
Do you remember a particular game that you played in, and after the game was over, she got in your face just a little bit and asked you a question? Why did you do this? Why did you do that?
I remember one time we had a doubleheader, and it was me. But later, Hosey had a doubleheader, so I played in the morning. Hosey played at night, so I stayed at the field, watched Hosey's game, and she said, and I saw her in the corner of my eye at the house, because the field was across from our house. So, and I said, wow. I told Hosey, I said, man, I don't, after those games, I said, I don't want to face my mom. I don't want to go out there. You go first. And Hosey said, no, you play first, you go first. And I said, all right, let's go together. And sure enough, man, she started showing us up. And, hey, what are you guys doing swinging at that ball? I told you shouldn't do that. And when you hit a pop-up, you run to first, you don't jog. And, I mean, she was going all out on us, right? So I'm like, wow, man, Mom, it's okay. You know, we'll do better next time. Don't worry. All right. And then we were watching my dad. He was walking into to our house, and we were looking at him like, wow, now it's my dad's turn. So let's see what she has to say. And she was all out for him, saying, hey, if you want to score some runs, you better do the hit and run. If you want to do this, bunt the guy over. And you should have done this, and you should have done that. And that's what she was trying to say to my dad, and we were all laughing, you know, because she's that passionate about the game.
It's interesting. When you were growing up, you were really on the thin side, the skinny side, and you were young. But when you signed, it was as a catcher. But the one thing I never knew about you was that you had never played that position before.
Yes, I never did until that day of the tryout. And the guy right in front of me gave me a catcher's glove. And he said, here, throw to second base and let me see how you do. Let me see how you throw to second. And I look at my dad and he said, wow, don't worry. You know, everything's going to be fine. You've seen all your brothers do it. Catch and throw the ball, and you'll be fine. And I did. You know, I did pretty good. I always got good hands, so I cut the ball, and I threw it a second, and I did very good, man.
One thing I do know about the catching position is it's more than just a position. It's almost like a manager on the field, and you also have to manage different personalities on the mound as well. How do you bring all of that together? What was it like for you in the early days of catching, Benji?
Well, it was very tough because at the beginning I didn't see, when I was in the minors, early in the minors, I should say, in rookie ball and A ball, I didn't see me as a helper so much because I wanted to make it up to the major leagues, and I always thought like the minor leagues were an obstacle for me to make it, right? So I wasn't very into that. But once I noticed in A ball, when I noticed that if I can help pitchers, we're going to win games. And that's going to get me up to the major leagues because they're going to see that I can handle the pitching staff. So it's not until A-ball that I realize I have to be a psychiatrist. I have to be a friend. I have to be somebody they trust. I have to earn their trust. I have to do all these things, become their friend, become their brother out there. I want them to rely on me. to be successful. And not until then, that's when I realized that, and that's when I started doing it.
One of the things that I think baseball and professional sports teaches the highly skilled athlete is how to deal with adversity. And in the book, you talk about the problems you had with your marriage. It began unraveling. That can be something that can throw particularly a young player off stride. How did you deal with that? What was it that let you get through that in your life?
I think it was my strong mind. My strong mind helped me. All the struggles that I went through when I was a kid, when I was a young boy, all the struggles that I spent, sometimes not eating, sometimes not having stuff that I wanted. I think that struggle early helped me with this because it made me a stronger person. And it's not easy. It's not easy to deal with a divorce case. It's not easy to lose something that you have for a long time. It's not easy. And then you have two daughters too that at that moment, you know, they probably suffer a lot. But it's not easy. But at the end, you just have to look for your own happiness. And obviously, if you're happy, my daughters were going to be happy. But I think I did it because of my strength inside, you know. And I took all that negative of my divorce and I put it into a positive situation. I wanted to do something good with myself. Even though it was so tough, I still told myself, you know what, I can still do something very positive and stay positive, and I'm gonna get through this.
I've always wondered, Benji, how athletes who have problems like everybody else is able to come to the ballpark, expected to perform at a high level, and actually do it. Because in the book, you talk about, again, a conflict with your father over this. My father could not accept it. And then you say, I think I took all that worry, stress, and turned it into motivation. And then you talked about the fact that the reason why the divorce came about in the first place is that you wanted your girls to be in a loving family, and there wasn't love there. So when you have your girls' best interest in mind, you're in conflict with your father. How hard was it to play baseball?
It was very tough, I tell you. I don't know how long it took me to get, not used to, but just to get, easy with it. You know, like, I took it easier and easier and easier all those days. But I don't know how long it took me. But it took me quite a bit because it's not easy. It's not easy to go through the process that I went through and still be performing at the highest level. I think my brain, my heart, my willing, I had a big willing to do good, to help people. I think that came out and helped me get through it, you know?
Did you become almost a father to your brothers, especially in a baseball sense? Did you feel any pressure to be that role model for your brothers in baseball as well?
Yes, I did feel the pressure, but once I realized they were going to be fine, once I realized they're going to be okay, I released that. I was released from that duty, you know? I thought that I had to be like Jose, he was with the Cubs and we were in spring training, I was always in contact with him and I always wanted him to feel like I'm the dad, you know? I want him to come to me if he has any troubles or feelings and something like that, and he's hurting or anything. I always felt like I was the dad, and same to Yadi when I went to Puerto Rico. But once I realized they were going to be fine, they were doing their own thing, I realized they were going to be good. Then I just back up a little bit.
I can imagine when the three of you get together and when you were growing up, there must have been some funny moments between the three of you. First of all, your three kids, very close, from a very close family. And second of all, you played baseball and you played the same position. There must have been some funny moments along the way. What were they?
Well, I don't. First, when we get together now and before, it's not about baseball. It's about family. With that being said, we played dominoes, we played cards, we watched movies together, we listened to music, we sing in the karaoke, which is a lot of fun. We have friends over, we sit down, we put a fire up, and we sit down, tell stories. That's our deal. We don't necessarily talk baseball unless one of us is playing and the other two are together, then we start talking baseball or a series or something. But if none of that's happening, we just talk about funny stuff. And my brothers are very, very funny. They have their own deals and they have their own games and things like that. So we enjoy each other as company, you know, we always enjoy.
You certainly can look back upon a fond memory, and you shared it with your brother, Jose. You were with the Angels. He was a backup catcher. 2002 World Series against the San Francisco Giants that was won in a dramatic seventh game after the Angels had to come from behind. They were within five outs of losing that World Series to the Giants. Tell me what you remember most about that World Series.
The thing that comes up in my head, obviously, was Game 6 and Game 7 are the ones that I that comes up to my mind. Once in a while, I think about the Game 4. Or Game 5, I'm sorry, where it was in over there in the Giants Stadium, and I had a pass ball, and we lost that game. Actually, we ended up losing that game, and it was, I felt really horrible. I thought I let my team down in that game five, and then we go home and we started losing 5-0. So I thought that moment comes back up, but then once you think about at the end what happened, you know, like the game six was unbelievable comeback. And then the game seven, I had a double to tie the game up at one early. And then Garrett Anderson got a 3-run double and we won the game. That's what I think the most, you know, game six and game seven.
We only have a couple minutes left, but when your dad passed away, you had a chance to reflect back, of course, and as you alluded to a little bit earlier, Benji, you mentioned about the fact you thought that he wanted to be a Major League Baseball player, but that wasn't it at all. He really became a father for extended kids, extended families, did he not? And at what point did you realize what his true dream and desire was?
Well, after he died, after he passed away, I talked to a lot of friends, and I kept telling them how sad I was and how sad I was that we couldn't get together more and things like that. And they were saying, you don't worry about it, they told me. They said, don't worry about it, because Benjamin was doing what he loved. He was in a dream. And I didn't realize, you know, what they were talking about. And I always asked, he said, hey, man, what do you mean he was in a dream? Yeah, Benjamin, his dream wasn't about going to the major leagues. His dream was about being a family man, having kids and helping others, and helping his family survive. And that was his dream, and he did it. He did it so good. And like I always say, Benjamin and Gladys, they had three sons. But in the end, he ended up having thousands of kids, thousands of sons, man, through baseball. You know, every kid that he was when we left to play ball and professional, he was still a manager. He was still a coach, and he was coaching kids all over the ages, you know. And I'm like, wow. And then I realized he's happy. Wherever he is, he's happy, and he's very excited to have done what he did, because that's what his dream was, be a family man and helping as many kids as he can.
What would you like people to take away from this book?
I want people to – actually, I want parents – first of all, parents and kids, obviously, because they work together. I want parents to get motivated. I want parents to be inspired by it. I want them to see how hard it was for two parents raise these three kids. But I want them to see that it could have been done. It could be done. So for their own, you know, I want these people to see that the book, it was very nice, well-written, by John Ryan, and I want them to see that you can do it too. If we did it from a small town in Puerto Rico, look at all the sacrifices that we went through. You guys can do it too. Give the kid the time they deserve. And it doesn't have to be baseball. I always say this. It could be softball. It could be basketball. Maybe your kid wants to play soccer. Maybe he wants to play golf. Maybe hockey. It doesn't matter what it is. Whatever it is, give him the chance. Go out there with them. Go out there with the kid, and go out there and be part of his life. Give him a chance, you know, and that's what I want them to get from this book. It's just motivation, inspiration to their own family, you know. That's what I want.
Thank you very much, Benji, for telling the love story for baseball, for your family, and also for your father and your mother. Take care. Come back again with us.
Thank you. Thank you. Anytime. Thank you so much.
Benji Molina with us again. Molina, the name of the book. We continue on Sports Byline.